don't think in terms of counting slides, but think of how many time I have to give my presentation. Because one slide, it's not that one slide has to be 1 minute on screen. You can have one slide for 2 seconds, just that people noticed a picture or a word or a little sentence, but you are in control. You are the presenter, so you can easily change your slide to the next slide if you want after some seconds. So just keep in mind how many minutes can I talk and how will I adapt my presentation to the minutes. So I think I heard it a lot in the different podcasts you hosted, like you need to prepare your presentation. And if you don't know how long your presentation will take place, it will not be the greatest presentation you will give.
Hey everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of the World of Presentations podcast brought to you by us at Presentation Agency 356 Labs. My name is Boris, I'm your host for today's episode. We are recording this episode for a second time. That's something that you cannot know, but it's actually the truth. And you don't have to know why are we recording this for the second time, but we are. All right, we are. So who is with me today? I have a colleague of ours who is located and who is based in Belgium, where the track, the F1 track, probably it's not just an F1 track, but the F1 track that's called Spa, that's the best name ever for a racetrack, I think Spa is. He has done quite some things before he went into the presentation space, so he was involved in, he has financial background, doing financial audits, doing project management, strategic consulting. Yet, 3 years now, he is already running a presentation company, helping quite big brands, I would say, like Pro League, the NN Insurance, and many others to presenting in a completely different way. So, who is with me today? His name is Matthias Cornet, even though I know that his family name is not exactly pronounced this way. We're going to wait for him to pronounce it correctly and explain why am I not pronouncing it correctly. So, Matthias, welcome on the second take. Let's make sure that this one happens, you know?
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah, no. Welcome to the podcast. Tell us how should we pronounce your family name correctly and why that's the case.
I don't know if there is really a why, but here I live in the west of Belgium, and here we say Matthias Cornette, but a lot of people say Cornette or Cornet because they pronounce not the T and the E at the end, but it's not a problem. I recognize myself when they pronounce it, so it's just like that.
So it's okay.
You can call me Matthias or Corn. It's all, a lot of people call me just Corn, so.
Okay, interesting. I'll go with Matthias. I think it's very easy. I think it's very, very easy. And you cannot mess that up, right? So you cannot mess it up. So first question always is, how did you end up in the presentation world? You were involved with so many other things, right? Wow. The interesting part that I missed in the bio and in the introduction was that even though you were financial analyst, strategic consultant, you were involved also in project management. Along the way, you were constantly teaching PowerPoint presentations, which is very, that's rare, you know? It is rare to see something like that happen. How did you end up in the presentation world?
It's a very good question, because that's the question I mostly get, because like, how did you end up there if you have a financial background? And I think it all started for me when I was 9 or 10 years old. And as a kid, when you had holidays, you could follow a sort of workshop with Microsoft. And you had 1 day of Word, 1 day of Excel, and 1 day was PowerPoint. And I think that was my introduction into the PowerPoint world. And next to that, on school, we had a lot of presentations we had to make, even on high school. Then my career began. And I just made a lot of presentations, and every time the teacher or people just called it like, okay, Matthias, it was a really nice, great presentation. And for me, it was just like a normal standard. Like for me, it was like, okay, every presentation should be like this. But one of my former bosses told me like, okay, Matthias, you're really good at it. Why don't you do something with it? And then I just started it as a side job. So I started show, and I think for the first 2 or 3 months, I just teach myself the most premium things on PowerPoint just on searching on YouTube. So one day I just said like, okay, I want to be able to make a timer, for example, and just to know how it works. And by that, step by step, and when I got the feeling that, okay, now I'm well experienced at it, then I search for the first clients, and then we get along. And of course, it's something rare. I think in Belgium, you are not with that many people who are in the industry. And a connection of me just asked me, like, would you teach us on getting better presentations? Because I made an ebook to start with show, like, how do I start my professional presentation? And it begins with structure and then goes more to the design part. So that's why that's now the third time that I'm hosting a guest college at a university in Brussels. So that's a really cool thing.
That's nice. That is definitely nice. So you obviously, one can learn a lot from YouTube, right? Like, there are so many, obviously, so many videos there that can teach you various things related to PowerPoint and related to presentation design in general. So everyone who is listening to this one, if you say that there is no materials out there, there are. You just have to search for them. There is a lot written on the topic, a lot recorded on the topic. You just need to search it a little.
Yeah.
And the name of the company is called Show with double O, right?
Yes.
Obviously, we're going to, So we're going to link it up in the show notes afterwards, but just for everyone's context, Show with double O, there are a lot of projects that you have uploaded so that people can, I would say, whoever is not a designer, because most of our audience are not designers, they can go there and just inspire themselves through the examples that you have uploaded.
Yeah.
Going back, coming from the financial world, coming from audits and all of that, what do you see business professionals having challenges with, like in terms of their presentations, of course? You have seen a lot of organizations, a lot of people that are being asked to present. What do you think they struggle most with?
Yeah, I think they have multiple challenges, but I think the biggest one I saw in presentation is the lack of structure. So you open up a presentation and you just see some slides, and you have the feeling like some colleagues just have had a plan. They made a presentation together, but they just like begin like, okay, you are making slides 1 to 10, and I'm making slides 10 to 20. For example, and they just brought them together, but they don't have really a structure. And I think that's, in many cases, the problem is that they just begin straight away in PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. And my tip to the people, to my clients, is also like, don't start your presentation in PowerPoint, but I always started with post-its. I have post-its everywhere, and I'm now at home, and I saw that my post-its are ended, so I don't have them with me now, but I always have post-its with me. And it's like so easy to make a structure. Like, what I start to do is like, okay, you make a presentation, that's your goal, that's your topic. What are the different topics you will discuss in your presentation? And one topic is one post-it. And by that, you can easily make a structure like, okay, maybe you start like, okay, I will begin with this, and then after this, and after that, I have this. And maybe after all, you don't think it's the right structure, you can easily hang them in the different way.
Yeah.
By that, you have a second level subtopics. And after you have your main structure, you can go to the content. And I think now people begin with the content, they go to PowerPoint, and they just start, okay, where do I place my title? What do I do with my content? Oh, I will search for a nice picture. And they start on Google, which is also a fault. They start Googling a picture, and then they are beginning with the picture. So they don't have the structure in the way they do their presentation, but also not in thinking about their presentation. So for me, that's the biggest mistake I see nowadays.
Yeah, so they are more or less skipping one step of the whole process, like immediately jumping to the design when the main focus should first be, hey, what are we trying to communicate here first? You know, like what is that we want to say, and what is the story behind this presentation in the first place? And then let's use the design or PowerPoint or Keynote or whatever it may be nowadays to support that. to support that story. By the way, when you are saying that one, when you're using the post-it notes, this is an idea I think that is very popular in our space at least, and is communicated quite a lot, I think, during training programs and YouTube videos and many other things. That's, hey, one idea, you know, like when you try to communicate one idea, that's one slide. Yeah. Don't have more than one idea per slide. Have you heard, have you seen people getting a little bit scared when they hear this, because they say, hey, wait a minute, if I do that, right, if I have one idea per slide, then I'll have way too many slides.
Right? I hear it all the time, and it makes me a little bit angry sometimes, but in a positive way, of course. But
explain
just
that.
Don't think in terms of counting slides, but think of how many time I have to give my presentation. Because one slide, it's not that one slide has to be 1 minute on screen. You can have one slide for 2 seconds, just that people noticed a picture or a word or a little sentence, but you are in control. You are the presenter, so you can easily change your slide to the next slide if you want after some seconds. So just keep in mind, how many minutes can I talk and how will I adapt my presentation to the minutes? So I think I heard it a lot in the different podcasts you hosted, like you need to prepare your presentation. And if you don't know how long your presentation will take place, yeah, it will not be the greatest presentation you will give, because you know when you have a story behind, when you can maybe talk something in depth. So yeah, and I think also, like, to come back a little bit to the biggest mistake, like post-it, if you ask clients, like, what is the biggest challenge you have in making presentation, they will talk immediately about design and not about structure, because they don't think about it. And if I think about designing, yeah, of course you see a lot of presentations who are not branded, like their website or like their branding they have, but also too many bullet points. I think that's the main thing we all see in the industry, like everywhere bullet points. And I think for me, a general tip there is cut the bullet points, so delete them and just place an icon before them, before the sentence or before the words, that strengthen the message. Yep. So that's also a thing there.
Yeah, the lack of consistency, especially in the corporate world, with the brand and then what happens in the presentations, especially, by the way, what you said at the beginning, where you have like one person doing 10 slides, the other person doing the next 10, then another third person coming up with 15, and then all of this merges into one file. It always becomes a mess, you know, like, and then hopefully one of those people will be willing, you know, to spend the time to put everything in a consistent manner and just keep it stick to the brand and just make sure that everything is consistent. Even though I don't see that happening very, very often though.
I had the experience yesterday. I was yesterday sitting in a jury for students. And so they had to make a presentation, and I was just part of the visual. I had to quote the visual of them, of the visual aspect, sorry. And you can easily saw the teams that just said, like, okay, you are presenting that team of the presentation, so you make those slides. And they all brought together, but then you saw different fonts, different colors. So it was easy to see, okay, you made a great presentation, but the presentation as such wasn't that great. I think it's also something you see a lot. Sorry?
The design could be definitely better, obviously, there.
Yeah. And I think it's also part of like creating a story, because a lot of presentations doesn't contain a story. And if you present or if you make slides, like you making slides 1 to 5 and I'm taking slides 6 to 10, and we don't know how we go from slides 5 to 6, then it's really a problem, because if you are presenting, then it's very hard to say, okay, create a little story, and not saying, okay, now I will present this, now I will present this. And I think creating a story is so important also in a presentation. And I think most people think that it's too difficult. Storytelling is the term we use, but storytelling can be very easy too. Just to know what is on the different slide or on the next slide can create you to say a little sentence to go fluently to the next slide and not presenting like, okay, now I will present this or now this person will say this.
On this slide, we're talking about, I like when someone moves from slide to slide with the words on this slide, we're looking at, and I'm like, is there any connection between those two things or are they just fragments that are placed in here and no one knows what is the connection between them? As you mentioned, like these connecting sentences that you use to connect the slides with each other and just move from one to the other in a smoother way are so often missing, especially in the corporate world, so often missing those transition sentences. And I think that everyone that's listening or watching, you should be like keeping an eye, I would say, or monitoring yourself. Like when you're rehearsing your presentation, hopefully you're rehearsing your presentation in first place. Let's start there. Because I would say, have you seen some of your clients saying something like, Matthias, yeah, sure. I understand that the rehearsing is important, but you know, I have been in business for 10 years. It's okay, you know?
I know what I talk about. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what I talk about. Do you see that also in Belgium?
Yeah, a lot. And I think the thing there is nobody has time, or they think they don't have time. But if you have an important idea or you need to raise funds or it's a commercial presentation, then I think you should make time for it because it's very important to your company, to yourself, maybe to maintain your job even. Take your time and you need to present it. Let's say I'm kind of guy that I might make presentations myself if I need to present. But I'm not the person that will prepare it 100% because I know where I talk about and I just know my presentation so well that I know here I can jump to 10 slides further if I want, by hyperlinks that I created or just by, I know a little story and people will not see my slides will go from 10 to 6 and in 6 seconds, for example. But it's not a recommendation like don't prepare your presentation. I think you should be feeling how yourself, and the best thing is just do a test with your team. Are they convinced of your story? And the thing there also is like, if you present or you have your presentation, you need to create an experience. And it can be a very small experience, but like you said, on this slide we talk about, and if you have a big title on your slide, everyone know that you will talk about it. So you don't have to say it again. So the people are watching, we know. And that's not an experience. Yeah. Like they are get bored too fast, for example. Yeah.
I think that what you referred to like in the previous comments and the fact that there are still so many bullet points on slides that are being presented. I don't have anything against detailed like slides that have dense text if they are being sent over email. Like these are completely fine with me if they are created with the self-sufficient purpose, you know, like there is no presenter anymore. And you still have to understand what are we trying to communicate. So yeah, sure, go ahead and write it down in a way. But when you're presenting it live, it's kind of strange to see so much text on so many slides and people get bored, as you mentioned, like very, very quickly. When there is so much information constantly being presented in front of them. I have seen it so many times, like 3-hour presentations with more than 300 slides. Each one of them, like so much information on each one of them, people probably on the fifth or sixth minute already going out of the meeting to get some coffee, going out to just try to refresh themselves. You know, it is crazy. And most of the times this is a presentation that comes from those type of media agencies that analyze the market, analyze what's happening with TV ads, campaigns, everything. So there is a lot of data also inside of them. You have been doing data and you have been obviously involved in presentations that involve data visualizations and everything around it. What do you see people, like when people are presenting data, do you see them, what do you see there? Like, are they, do they have some challenges there? Is it a challenge with which visual should they use? Is it them trying to simplify it and not being able to simply, like, what do you see there?
I think if you look to financial presentation or presentation with many data, I see mostly three kind of problems. First of all, they lack to create a story. They just present data and they cannot talk about it. Like they say, okay, we have a table with our figures for this year, for example, and they just go into the data. But people can, and that's maybe a tip for everyone, if you have text on your slide, everyone can read it. So you need to emphasize what you want to say, or you create a story behind what's on the screen, but don't say what is on the slide. And I think if you can create a story, you can even create a story with a chart or with a table. And that's something that really is lacking in corporate structures. And well, we cannot say it's their fault, because if you go to school, you are not experienced with it too. Yeah. So it's a common thing we see. So that's one problem, lacking a story in data presentations. I think another one is an overload on data information. If you have a chart, for example, let's make it very easy. You have a chart and it's a bar chart. We have four bars and every bar has its own label. Like these are the results of our quarters this year. And then we have also our X and Y axis, but they also contain labels, and there are too many labels, because if you label your bar chart or your bars, you don't need to label your axis. So yep. That's a little thing, like what is an overload on my slide that is not creating added value to my chart or to my data, for example.
Yeah, we always push also our people to, our trainees to look for repetition, you know, in the visualization. Like when you see an element repeating on a chart, that is telling you that one of the copies of that element should be deleted in one way or the other. Like there shouldn't be repetition on a chart. Like I normally see exactly what you're seeing. Like on the y-axis, you see the numbers, right? But then you also see them as a direct label inside of the bar or outside of the bar. And I'm like, where is the repetition here? And everyone is looking at the chart. And sometimes it amazes me that, by the way, sometimes it takes people quite some time, you know, to find what is the issue with it. I believe that it's because they are so used to seeing it in this way that it's not a problem anymore for them somehow. Like everywhere around them, they see it in the same way. And so once they see it once again somewhere else, they are like, eh, that should be fine. You know, like that is how it should be. Everyone else does it the same way, right? Which is, yeah,
very well, I think it's also because our tools, it's very easy to add labels and to add another label and to add another information just by clicking our boxes on the at the tool. And they are not critical for us. Like they should ask, like, do you really want this? Because they are already labels on the chart. But I think it's a very good one that you say, like, what is a repetition on this slide, for example? Because I didn't get the message by that, but it's very easy to have or to explain to people, like, okay, where is the repetition on the slide? So thank you for that one.
Yeah, I mean, this really pushes to look for, you know, like repeating patterns, something or something like that, and just pushes them to look carefully. And once they see it on one place, and many times, by the way, the first thing that we always try to remove is repetition. You know, like for me, that is immediately always one of the first things that we are trying to figure out. How can we not have anything repeating on this chart in this case, let's say. But the second one is always in order for us to achieve, and I would say that this is so applicable also on any chart or any data visualization for that matter, but it's still so applicable, I think, in the context of slides that are being presented. Like every single element should add, as you mentioned, like, is it adding value to the conversation? Is it adding value to what I'm communicating here? Because if it is, let's keep it, right? It's okay. But if it doesn't, then it should be removed. Because for me, and I always say to our clients, like, guys, take a look at it. It's a slide. It has physical dimensions. Like, it's not a, something that's infinite in space. It has limitations, and you have to present information in those limitations. The more things there are inside of that box, right, in that rectangle, the more busy the slide will look. There is no way around it. And so in order for us to simplify it, we need to be a little bit brutal sometimes and just ask, is this logo, is this word, is this comma, is this confidential information at the bottom, is the page number, is this or that or this or that helping me communicate what I'm trying to communicate here in front of that group of people? If it's yes, keep it. If it's no, remove it. And in the data visualization space, I just think that there are so many things that PowerPoint, as you mentioned, add by default. And when you, or when you try to add them, it's not asking you, are you sure? Like, are you sure it doesn't have this intelligence behind it somehow? Which is a good idea for a feature, by the way, in PowerPoint. Hopefully Microsoft will listen. Somehow scan the chart before, like, they take a picture of the chart. You try and say, hey, I want this element right now on the chart. They scan the photo and they say, yeah, but you have this component already. Are you sure? Yeah. That would be really cool, though, I think.
Let's dream of it. But also, like, if you have it, or if you're talking about the level of repetition, I think I see in data slides a lot of repetition to titles. So we have the title of our slide, sales numbers 2021, and then you have your chart, and it's taking just the same sales 2021. And I always say, like, delete the title of your chart, and the title of your slide should be the clue of the story. Like, what do you want people to know? Why?
Yeah.
It's just, and that brings me also to the third part, like, what I see in data presentations is, if they just read the title, they get the message, and they are not looking to your chart or table anymore. But if you have too many data on your slide, and you don't have a clear title or a clear message, people will start maybe analyze your slide. And that's the worst thing you can have in any financial presentation or data presentation, because then people are just asking questions to you and you are not prepared to it because you didn't wanted them to ask questions about it. And maybe for the people, take a very easy example. I can say with show, I'm existing 3 years. And with 3 years, I want to say I'm very experienced. Then I want to say, like, okay, I did more than 200 presentations. Again, to show my experience. But when I bring them together on one slide and I'm talking about, I'm very experienced, people can just start with numbers and think, like, but okay, 200 presentations in 3 years, that's maybe 60 presentations in 1 year. That's not that big number. And that's the thing I don't want. I don't want them to analyze and to start doubting about things. So you should, if you use data on a slide, just check if they are related, yes or no, to the message you want to convey.
Yeah.
If they are not, split them to the next slide.
And, completely agree. The biggest change that you see in data, like in slides which include data visualization, is when you change the title. And that's for everyone who is listening or watching. The easiest fix that you can do for yourself is remove the normal type of title that says sales per quarter, you know, or marketing results per year or something like that, and just put a longer sentence, like break the rules and just put the insight, as you mentioned, just put the insight out of that data into the title, because the behavior of your audience actually changes. Like, once they read the insight, as you mentioned, like once they read the insight, they're not going to be looking at the data, trying to analyze it again. What they are actually doing is that once they see the insight, they're searching for confirmation of that insight in the data. And once they find it, it's over. They switch back to you, and they again, their attention is to you, back to you as the speaker, which is exactly what you want. No, exactly what you want.
But like very with playing charts and tables, use color, highlight things. Don't bring everything or don't bring the full story at once. Just go into phases. I think that's also a good one. Like, if, like for example, a bar chart where you have the past, the now, and the future, for me, there are always three colors because they are not the same. And you want to highlight things in your story and just use colors in your presentation, even with charts and bars.
I would say that also not many people don't know that PowerPoint actually supports animation for charts and also for tables, even though for a table it's a little bit trickier to animate a table because it's just pasted as an image, then ungroup it twice. It's a kind of tricky one, but you can find it probably on Google or on YouTube in first place. But many people don't know that charts can, like line charts, pie charts, bar charts, can be animated. Step by step, category by category, you know, like all of those things can be done, and you can just click show first, let's say the bars for the previous year or the bar for the previous year, talk about it, ask the audience, like, what do you expect? Like, what do you think will happen this year or happen this year? Then click show the next bar, etc. I think that's a very good advice here to kind of go slowly and piece by piece through color or through animation, I would say also would work. Anything else that you have seen in the business world that's kind of disturbing or making you a little bit angrier when you see it on top of your head?
That's a pretty one. Well, there are a lot of things, but I think we discussed a little bit the biggest challenges we saw in presentations. Visuals, maybe visuals. A lot of people take visuals from Google, even have a watermark of them, and like, don't do it. Never go to Google. I think if you want to use free pictures but are with a high definition pixels, just go to Unsplash.com, Pexels.com, for example. They are free to use, but never go to Google. And go for real pictures if you can. That's always the biggest thing, because you can say what you want. A presentation is as nice as its visuals that we are using, because it has a huge impact on your presentation, for me.
Yeah. Plus, we are quite spoiled nowadays, you know? Like, everything is so high quality all around us that you expect everything else that you see to be high quality. And when you face a presentation that has watermarks and clip art and like pixelated images and icons, you're like, you know, that doesn't look like on my phone. On my phone, everything is crisp and clear. When in presentation, something changes. Yeah, completely agree here. I mean, still a big issue. I forgot about the watermark thing, but I have actually recently seen a presentation that was a public one even. Like, it's not an internal type of thing, but one that's going to be presented on a webinar, which had a few images with watermarks on top of them. And I was like, guys, you have to be careful here. You know, like, that is not, you can get into trouble because of things like this. You know, and especially a brand like yours, which is a very big organization, you can get into a trouble that you don't want to get into just before Christmas, you know?
Yeah,
that's indeed. not how it goes.
And I think maybe one of the main issues also, and I think I heard it with your podcast with Andre Pacini, is like, people are giving a presentation for themselves, but you never give a presentation for yourself. You give it for the audience. And your audience is always in the center of your presentation. If they don't feel it, like they are being home while watching or listening to your presentation, it's not the right presentation at that moment. And I think that's a little bit the change we had in presentations. We had a lot of chronologic presentations. And nowadays we are, I don't know if it's the same for you, but most of the time I'm making interactive presentations where people can just pick the chapters they want to present and not go chronologic anymore. So that's also
it depends on the use case in our environment, because you can like, not every single presentation can be interactive in the sense of, let's start with point number 3 here, then move on to point 4, and then go back to point number 1. For me, that's like that feature in PowerPoint, and the hyperlinks and the Zoom feature are incredible. We have used them across like various sales presentations, because in those type of moments, it really makes sense for some organizations, at least in our cases.
Yeah.
But there are places, you know, where you should go in a linear fashion. You just need to go once, like step by step by step, and build up, let's say, the knowledge of somebody. Otherwise, it's a great, great feature. Have you used the Zoom feature already?
Yeah.
In PowerPoint? Yeah. What's your thoughts? What are your thoughts on it?
It's a nice feature, but I more fake it like it's Zoom that I'm using than really using the Zoom feature, because for me, and it's more technical, so we are talking about, but to begin it, so the first slide that you bring to your menu slide, it's a more tricky one to use sometimes. And even if you talk to people, like start with Zoom, I don't think it's the most easy one to start with.
Yeah, for everyone that doesn't know that PowerPoint has a Zoom feature, the so-called Zoom feature nowadays, and you're using Office 365, go to the Insert tab. In the middle of that tab, there is a new button that you probably missed. It's called Zoom. Experiment with it, and you will be... Let's see your opinion. Let us know in the comments afterwards what happened once you experimented with that feature. It's an interesting one indeed.
And maybe for people who don't know it, it's just the same like a Prezi presentation. Yeah. Because a lot of people tell me like PowerPoint is so old-fashioned. Now we use Prezi. It's like PowerPoint can do the same, but you just have to know the tool.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Matthias, who else should we get on the podcast? Because we are close to the 40th minute in this episode. Who else do you think we should get? One name that pops up in your head immediately when you hear the word presentations. Anybody?
If you tell me presentation, two people pop up immediately. But
okay.
I will stay in Belgium maybe. We have a famous speaker. Steven van Bellehem is his name. He's very famous internationally. And he speaks a lot. And for he, like COVID changes his manner of speaking, because nowadays he has to do a lot of digital events. Before he was everywhere in physics. So I think for it could be nice to hear him talk about, okay, how did it change and how did it affect your presentation, for example? So
what happened there? Yeah, you have to introduce me to him, because I just wrote down Steven, because the family name is so hard to pronounce. I'm sure that I will not write it down correctly. So you introduce us to Steven, and let's see whether or not we can make him come to the podcast and just tell us a little bit more about how was the switch and what did he need to switch when he was presenting in person and now in a completely online, 100% probably online manner.
If I can introduce a second one, is it allowed or not?
Of course it's allowed. Everything is allowed.
You have an agency in Paris. It's called Slidor. And you have Jérôme Bestel as the co-founder together with his brother. And they do a lot of event presentations. And I think it's also a niche within our niche. They also do sales presentation and things like that. But they are very... And I think it's the same with you. You do also a lot of events.
So
for me, they were my first inspiration in presentations.
They are quite good in what they do. We know each other actually because of the conference. We actually invited them to be one of the speakers last year at the conference. But there were some issues internally on their end, and so they were not able to join. Hopefully, they will join us at some point, because indeed, Slidor are doing incredible work in the presentation space. So I'm going to make sure that we mention them as part of the podcast so that people know about them. Because if you're based in France, if you're based in Paris, if you're based somewhere there, these guys can definitely help you out. And they're super cool people also, as you mentioned. All right. One last question, a two-part question though. Where can people find more about what you do? And what is the best place for them to connect, meaning the best social media network for them to connect?
So you can find everything of show at show.be. So BE from Belgium. And the most easy way where I share my content and my tips and tricks are on LinkedIn. So if you go to Matthias Cornette, you will find me. I call myself the chief presentation officer. So it's easy to find me and just link with me, connect with me, and we will have some talks, and you can just follow my LinkedIn.
Brilliant. I have already prepared myself for that one. I have the links for the website and your LinkedIn profile already here, ready for our marketing team to put them in the show notes or in the YouTube description. So that is taken care of. Matthias, thanks so much for doing this for a second time. It was a pleasure to join you and be chatting about this for like yet again after after some technical glitches, let's call them this way the first time. But thanks again for joining. That was super nice, man.
Thank you for having me, Boris.
Brilliant, everybody. Everyone, just a reminder, Matthias's website and his LinkedIn profile are in the show notes or in the description of this episode, no matter depending on where you're consuming it, actually. So take a look at him, connect with him on LinkedIn, see what he is doing for his clients, and inspire yourself, you know, by looking at those designs. So thanks for listening. Hopefully you find this episode a very interesting one. It's actually episode 99, which is an interesting one by itself. Episode 100 will be quite, no one knows who actually is going to be our guest on episode 100. Only I know, because the episode is already recorded, but it's a completely different story. So stay tuned. It's a very, very, very big name in the world of business in first place. So stay tuned for the next episode. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't. And as you know, and as we already mentioned, as we mentioned every single time, like, share, comment, all of those help us out, get and reach more people. Thanks again for listening, and see you in the next one.